Good Shepherd Sermon for Palm Sunday, March 28, 2021. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
From Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus said, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends, Noah, your whole family, all your friends here, your friends and family of faith online. This is a great day. This is a day in which God's people have gathered together because today is Sunday. We worship on Sunday. Why? Because that's the day Jesus kicked death in the teeth, came back to life again, never again to die, and our entire life is built on that truth. Noah, as most confirmants in Lutheran churches, has spent at least 2 years formally learning things about God and his word from Luther's small catechism. All that does is accentuates what is being taught at home. What happens is, in the Lutheran church, the parents ask the pastor to give a little bit more focused attention to help understand what's going on in God and his word, with the great teachings of God and his word about forgiveness and mercy and how they are so necessary because of sin and death. And so it was really good that he chose this word of God, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And I thought, aha, thank you very much for choosing that verse, because now I have a built-in thing to help you understand. Now, my guess is that most of you will come and you'll hear God's word, and because of the press of other things on your mind, all the little details of today's service might slip your mind, but I'm praying that this doesn't slip your mind. In my hand is a rubber band. There's extra rubber bands if you want to pick one up on the way out. Why do I have a rubber band? Because that's in this thing, Merimanao. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." You know what merimanao means? It means don't worry. Merimanao, worry. Worry means when you're stretched to the breaking point. When you're so distracted by all the stuff going on tomorrow that it's just really hot. Oh, I broke my rubber band. That's merimanao. It's when you are stretched, you're going to pieces because of all the stuff going on. Not only is the rubber band broken, but it hurts like the dickens, right? Jesus says, listen to those first two words. Jesus says, "So do not worry about tomorrow." Don't pull the stress of tomorrow into today. Jesus says, tomorrow will care for itself. Tomorrow's coming. It's not here. Jesus says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How do we understand that? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Does the trouble cause the day to have trouble? Does the day cause trouble after trouble? Or is my worrying about it causing trouble? Basically, what the Lord is telling us in very plain words is to rely on him and not to worry about what may or may not happen tomorrow or the next year. Now, when I was younger, I was not quite as wise as Noah. I used to use anything I could to get out of everything. I mean, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Uh-huh. See, I don't have to get ready for work today, Dad. I don't have to worry about raking tomorrow. I don't have to go to bed early tonight because I'm not supposed to worry about tomorrow. And my dad would just shake his head, and he said, that's not what it means. Yeah. Don't worry about tomorrow does not mean do not plan. Because Jesus earlier had talked about birds being taken care of. This part of God's word, the reason why I'm really glad you chose this for your verse, is from a sermon that Jesus gave. It's just one sentence of a sermon, a couple sentences. And those words from Jesus, it's a sermon that he gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. You know, that's the one with all the Beatitudes, the blessed are. Well, at the very end of that, there's a section that starts, don't worry. Do you take a look at those birds? See Mr. Robert Robin? Mr. Robert Robin and his little boy, Ricky. Ricky's just out of the egg. He's kind of learning how life goes. And so he's out there and he's hunting worms with Dad. He's going to get some worms. And the dad's looking around and little Robert goes and gets a worm. And then little Ricky follows suit and gets a worm. And then while he's gobbling down that worm, he has angst. What if there are no more worms tomorrow? Dad, what if we can't find any worms tomorrow? And Robert Robin says, you know, we don't have to worry about that because God makes sure there's enough worms for tomorrow. I was once a little birdie like you, and now I'm all grown up, and there's never been a day where I've not been able to find a worm because we serve a very generous God. I use that little word picture because Jesus used word pictures of things that are going on all around him. Birds of the air, they don't worry, they don't plant crops, they don't harvest, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Mirmanao. We kind of do this. We kind of worry. We're kind of stretched to the breaking point. You feel like you're being pulled apart sometimes. Sometimes what happens is you feel like I only have one nerve left. You're stepping on it. It's about ready to snap, that kind of a deal. We've all been there. And if Noah hasn't been there, he's going to be there soon because we know that, right? Don't worry about tomorrow, even though everything gets shattered. Even though your heart is broken to a million pieces, God says, don't worry. Well, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Jesus says, don't worry. Obviously, it depends on who this Jesus person is. In confirmation class and in Bible history class, because Noah is blessed to have both, we're learning about who the true God is and who Jesus really is. He was a real person. He really did live and breathe. He really was born in the little city called Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. He really was. And he really did grow up, just like we grow up. Except Jesus was without sin. The world doesn't quite know what to do with Jesus. So they turn him into a plastic Jesus, like a good luck charm. As long as I have some kind of Jesus hanging in my mantle somewhere, I'll be okay. It'll be like a horseshoe, a rabbit's foot. Some people look at Jesus like a spiritual guru. Come to me and I will make sure that you have peace and rest. Some people look at Jesus and they say, oh, he's a warrior. He's a rebel. He's out against the big guy. He's going to get the man. Some people look at Jesus and they say, there's a guy who really knows what I'm feeling like. He is a kind person. He doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Some people look at Jesus and they peg him to be some kind of political person, one way or the other. And guess what? None of those fit Jesus because Jesus is the living God in flesh and blood. And as you understand that, you understand a little bit about what he can do and what he can't do. What can he do? He can create everything with his word. If you ever run into someone who says, well, there can't really be a God, there's no real God, give them a bud of a rose and tell that person to unravel that rose the way that God does. It can't be done. God does that. There is a real God, and he really did live and breathe in the person of Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man. Now, why did Jesus do that? Since he created everything, why did he do that? Why did he come here to live, born of the Virgin Mary, to suffer and die? Why did he do that? And here on this Sunday, Palm Sunday, we see why. Satan is still trying to get Jesus off the path. Jesus is focused. He's going to go to that cross that's coming on Good Friday, and Satan is trying to distract him. He's become Mr. Popular. Everyone says, oh, it's the king. He's finally come here. Great. That's so good. We're glad you're going to get rid of those Romans now, right? You're going to take care of all the poverty going on in the world, right? You're going to heal all my diseases, right? And Jesus does not get distracted. Jesus stays focused. He is going to keep every word and promise of God. So back in the book of Zechariah, God says that when Jesus shows up, he's going to be coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The great, mighty King of Kings is going to come as a humble king, a humble leader, someone who serves. He's not coming to scare people. He's coming to help people. And we need help. We are sinners through and through, and that means that there is nothing good in us. Nothing. The Bible is very clear. It says, every thought of our hearts is only evil all the time. So what do? How come we're gathered here if God has said, you guys are just evil through and through? Why are we gathered here? We are gathered here because we serve the King of Kings, who put himself in our place, was tempted in every way just like us, and yet he didn't fall for any of those half-truths, none of the lies, none of the scary tactics of the devil. He stayed focused because his job was to go to a cross and shed his blood on the cross for Pastor Tallberg. And for Noah. And for all of us. Even people who don't believe in him. He shed his blood to wash away the sins of the guys who were nailing him to the cross. We don't run into that kind of compassion in our day-to-day life. So Jesus says, you need to understand something. I have you covered, not just your physical needs, but your spiritual needs are completely covered. I'm focused. I'm on my way to the cross, and I will pay for all of your sins. And that's exactly what he did. Now, in his name we've gathered, and in his name we heard. You heard Pastor John announce your sins are forgiven. Heaven's doors are wide open. How awesome is that? You and I are in a room full of saints of God. And we're going to be walking on streets of gold, trusting that what Jesus has done covers me. And pretty soon, Noah, we're going to be coming up to have the Lord's Supper. That's kind of cool, just so you know. When I was in my confirmation day, I was scared out of my mind. I don't remember much of the sermon at all. I don't remember much of the day at all. In fact, I hardly remember anything that went on at all, other than the fact I got to take the Lord's Supper for the first time. Now, in confirmation class, you're told to prepare. So guess what? The first thought that went through my mind is, am I prepared? I can't even remember. What am I supposed to do? And in the sacrament of the altar, as Noah well knows, as you all know, God does all his thing. I am prepared because I know I am a sinner. I need him. I need my sins forgiven. And I know they are, but Jesus says to come. And so I come. And Jesus unites all of himself to bread and wine so that I know for certain that my sins are gone. What a good and gracious God we serve. That's the one that Noah learned about, and he's still learning about, because we are having a confirmation, and before confirmation classes are even done yet. It's time. It's time for him to be able to join us and have the Lord's Supper. It's time for you to continue to pray for him so that his faith may get even stronger than it is. It's time for all of us to remember this great God who's not taken us home to heaven. He's left us here so that we can tell that good news to other people. Don't worry. And when they say, well, why not? Well, I serve a God who is bigger than this. Whatever problems in your life, you have problems with your mom and dad, you have problems with the kids, you have problems at work, you have problems with diseases. God is bigger than all that, and he's better than all that, and he loves you to pieces. So when you break apart, God can put you back together again. When you snap, God can enclose you in the bubble of his forgiveness and his mercy. That's a neat, neat promise of God. So in Jesus' name, this week, so let us live as he wants us to live. Amen.